Welcome to the Abundant Life Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by our guest speaker. For more information about Abundant Life Church, please visit www.abundantlifechurch.org.
The title of the message is The Spirit of Contention. And I want to explain how and why I got to this message, because it could be interpreted that Kevin feels there's a ton of contention within the church. That's not the case. Okay? In fact, after I had been working on this message, due to some things that I have been going through personally at work, all right? And after Pastor taught on Wednesday, it was kind of along the same lines, not exactly. Like, oh, maybe I should change my message. But God had it. I'm like, well, you know, if God's put something on your heart, you should keep going, right? So, all right, the reason that I have been thinking about this is I have gone through a season of contention at work from February 1st to April 16th. And yes, I know the day it ended. Contention's tough. It zaps the life out of you. Okay? And this is, it makes you want to quit, feel like quitting. It's tough. So this is going to be a little bit heavy, but you know, Kevin, I try to keep it a little bit light at the same time, so I'm not going to take you down too low, all right? But it's suffocating. David talks about being stuck in the mire. You know, when you are stuck in the mire, you are not going anywhere. You just feel like you're sinking and you can't breathe and you can't sleep because you're waking up in the middle of the night at 2 in the morning. Like, ugh, why am I waking up at 2? And then you sit there and you toss and you turn. You know what David calls that? Swimming in your bed. In fact, he wrote about it in Psalm 69, 14 through 20, about being in the mire. He says, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me not be delivered from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me. So this is a prayer, right? Nor let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to your multitude of tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant. For I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I'm full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. Contention is tough. You feel like you're alone. You feel like you're sinking. You don't really know who to talk to about it. So, Pastor Aaron Soto, he actually talked to the church. I didn't talk to him personally, but I heard, you know. There is, tension can be healthy, right? He said tension can be healthy, but what you can't allow it to in a relationship is allow it to become contentious, because contentious is destructive. And I have a definition of those two. So tension, the definition of tension is the state of being stretched tight. Tension, you know, and he said the tension allows the violin to make great music. Okay? Listen to the definition of contention. Heated disagreement, dispute, argument, variance, discord. Struggle, competing for a winning or a loser. Healthy tension leads to improvement, right? While contention leads to destruction and separation. It does. Paul and Barnabas got to a point where they were in contention and they had to separate. So, what's my big idea for the message? What I wanted to do is I wanted to take a look at two people, and in this case, Jesus and Peter. They had some tension in their lives, but they didn't allow it to become contentious. So I just want to talk to you for a few minutes on that idea and what lessons that we can gain from Peter and Jesus in their relationship and what they went through, okay? So I have a couple of examples. So my first scripture is Matthew 4:18-20. Very, very familiar scripture for you. And you're probably going to be like, Brother Marty, how are you going to get anything out of that short scripture? You can laugh. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So the first thing is, what is the relationship here? There is a leader, and there's a follower, right? I want to take a quick look at that. What is the number one duty of a leader? Jonathan Project guys, you should know this. What's the number one job of a leader? To make more leaders, right? Number one job of a leader is to make more leaders. In order to get people to follow you, you must know how to lead. Leadership is not easy at all. It's hard, but it can be learned. And this whole message isn't on leadership, I guarantee you this. But here's the thing. As a leader, and this is where contention can start. If you do not get leadership, and what do I mean by that? You must understand as a leader that you have to grow as a leader, okay? Because getting people to follow is not an easy thing. It is. Now, that is a humbling statement when you have to admit, I need to grow as a leader, right? Because it means that you're lacking something, all right? But honestly, that's where I was when I was 40 years old. Yes, I know the exact date and time. I was in the Atlanta airport, and I picked up John Maxwell's 23 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And I was struggling. And one of his first lessons is the law of the lid, and that everybody has a leadership lid. And it hit me. My problems that I've been having are because of me and my leadership ability. So we must be able to grow as a leader. Now, here's one. There's a key word in this statement that Jesus said. What did I say the number one role of the leader is? To make more leaders. That word "make" is a big word. I want you to think about that for a minute. That word "make" is really, really important on what Jesus said to Peter. Okay? He said, "I will make you fishers of men." They were fishermen, but he's making them, he's taking them to a new spot. He's making them into something else. So what happens when a person does not get leadership? They get the make wrong. They get the make wrong. What does the world think about leadership? And Jesus had the same issues with the disciples, guys. He had the same issues. What do people equate leadership with? Come on. Power. Authority. See, if you get the make wrong, you're going to make people do what you want. versus making people into what they want. See the difference? See, Jesus and Peter were on the same page. Peter wasn't happy where he was at. He liked that idea of becoming a fisher of men, didn't he? And Jesus wanted him to become a fisher of men. He needed him to become a fisher of men, right? So you got to get the make right. So what's the other side of the relationship? And it's important from a conflict perspective is what's our relationship, you know? The other side of this is a follower. Now, based upon what I just said, what are the expectations of the follower? I'm not going to say anything until you guys say something. What's the expectation of the follower? That they're being made into something they're not today. Is that all of us? Are we all followers of Jesus Christ? Are we getting the make right? Are we being made? You bet we are. Whether we like it or not, sometimes Jesus is going to, you know, he's going to have his way, isn't he? He's going to form us into the vessel that he wants us to be, right? Sometimes that's not easy. In order to change, we got to be willing to change. We have to. As a follower, we have to understand that's what's happening. And we have to say, hey, I'm being made into something else. I got to be willing. Otherwise, if you don't want to be willing, should we be a follower? No. Not trying to be hard, but that's just the truth. If we are going to be willing, or if we're going to be a follower, we have to be willing. The other thing is, we have to understand who we are following. Peter knew who he was following. Who are we following? Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. Who are we following? Jesus Christ. Who was Peter following? Jesus, because he is the Christ. Is this too deep? Who makes the best follower? Right, a great leader, because they understand the process. Now, obviously, Jesus was a great leader, right? He was the best leader that there ever was. So what happens when we are following somebody or we associate with? And by the way, all of us are leaders at some point, and all of us are followers. But we have to understand the relationship and where we're at in order for us to get it. We always aren't leading at all the same time, and we're not always following. We go back and forth. We have to understand that. So what happens if you are following somebody that doesn't get leadership? What does the world want us to do? Rebel, right? Leadership is hard, you guys. I've been committed to learning as much as I can for the last 15 years. And I can tell you, I have such a long ways to go. It's hard. And through this process, I've come to look at people that where maybe their leadership skills aren't that great yet, with a lot of grace. You know why? Because I remember where I was at. I was terrible. I didn't get it. And for some of us, we may be that person that is in that position that Jesus placed us in, that exact spot, to help that leader make, for, you know, to help Jesus make that leader into a leader, right? That could be our role. The worst thing that we can do is make it personal. And it's easy to do. It's really, really, really easy to do. Am I the same person that I was when I was 40 years old, when I was struggling? I can tell you one thing, my heart's the same. I do believe that. You know, have I been able to change and grow a little bit? I hope. Thanks to Jesus, right? Just because somebody isn't exactly where they need to be, we don't need to make it personal. And that will help keep us from contention if we can understand that, right? God is in the making business, isn't he? He's not done with any one of us. And if we are serving, if we're not the right follower, we're not the right leader, does that mean that we're going to be that way forever? If we serve an almighty God? No. Okay, turn to Matthew 14, 22 through 31. See, there was a lot in that one scripture, wasn't there? I told you I can lighten it up. By the way, boy, I hope it doesn't mean anything negative, but my Bible is falling apart. I need a new one. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but it's just gotten a lot of use, I think. Matthew 14, 22 through 31. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. By the way, the fourth watch, when is that? 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. When did they leave? Evening. How long were they on the water? 9 hours. They were struggling to get where Jesus wanted them to go, weren't they? But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." The leader is always calm in the storm, isn't he? And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." What does the follower want to do? Get out of the boat. Change is not easy, is it, folks? We're struggling here a little bit with all this new technology, changing the service, stuff like that. Not everybody wanted to get out of that boat. Peter did. Peter did. Peter wanted to get about. What's one of the hardest things about being a leader? Getting people to want out of, to get out of the boat. Getting people to change. Why? Because it's safe doing what you've always done. And, you know, the rest of those guys are like, "I don't know, I've never walked on water before." It's scary. It's scary getting out of the boat. Fear and resistance to change can be a huge source of contention. Why? this. Jesus says, come. It's like, way to go, Peter. Awesome. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. But he saw that the wind was boisterous. He was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Fear of failure is a killer. It is. It's easy, as I said, to be safe where we're at. Here's the thing. In order to really move the needle, you know what I'm saying? You know what that means? In order to really make a difference, you got to get out of the boat. You got to do something that you haven't done before, even though it's scary. If you stay in the boat, there is no change, folks. Listen to Jesus' response. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, I wanted to make this point. Jesus is there to catch us. We should not be afraid of failure. Jesus will catch us. He's not going to let us perish. He will catch us. It may hurt for a season, but he will catch us. Folks, we cannot live in fear. We just can't live in fear. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Ouch! What do you think about that? What do you think about that message? I'm trying to keep myself on time. Sorry if I watched for my watch. Because I know how prompt you guys like things, right? Was that a tough message from Jesus? He's the only guy getting out of the boat. And he said, why did you doubt? Hey, man. I'm the one that got out of the boat. What about all those other 11? They're sitting there. What about those guys? Hey, you told me I was going to be all right. You told me I wasn't going to fail. You hear me? You get where I'm going with that? What do we hear about from Peter? Zero. Jesus rebuked Peter, didn't he? Right then and there. He just did something that was that everybody else was afraid to do, and yet Jesus rebuked him. What do you think about that leadership? Proverbs 13 and 18. This is my main point here. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. We are living in a society today where we can no longer regard a rebuke. What does regard mean? To think about. Think about the rebuke. Instead of making an excuses, blaming somebody else, denying that it's an issue, Peter, from what I see, thought about it. About what Jesus had to say. And when they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were with him in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Do you think Peter's getting out of the boat had an impact on those other 11? It did. Why did they get down and worship Jesus? What did they see? They saw Peter do something that they've never seen before. Even though he failed, it still had an impact. Did you ever hear about failing up? Just because you failed, that does not mean that that is not beneficial. Thomas Edison is quoted saying that in order to be successful, you need to fail more. Regard a rebuke. Folks, I'm included in this. We got to do a better job at regarding a rebuke. Why? Because it comes with honor. That's the path to honor. Turn your page in your Bible to Matthew 16, 21 through 23. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke. You get what's going on here? Peter is rebuking Jesus, began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Whoa! What if you think one of your brothers or sisters here said, "Get behind me, Satan. Brother Marty, you're never teaching again." That was tough. You think there was some tension there? What is the one thing that Peter did right? You missed it, didn't you? Peter did something really right there. Who said that? He took him aside. He wasn't in front of the other disciples. He didn't go talking about him behind his back. He took him aside. He was being transparent with Jesus. He was having a difficult conversations. You know, we're doing this thing at work called EOS, and we're implementing it on our leadership team. And one of the things that they reinforce over and over again is learn to lay stuff on the table. Get comfortable having difficult conversations. We can have some difficult conversations, folks. And you know what? We're bad at this in America. We want to avoid them for whatever reason. But you know what? They're not that bad. And when you have them with each other, Peter was wrong. He didn't really understand what Jesus was talking about. Jesus did, so he corrected him, you know? But they were able to have that dialogue face to face. Can you imagine what would have happened if Peter went and ran some other way and just kept that to himself? What would have that caused? Contention, right? John 6, 55 through 69. And I'm going to skip down to verse 60, actually. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And then he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. What's the issue here? There's some offensive words. Why? Misunderstanding. They didn't get the words. Words are tough. They can be misunderstood. I was with a guy 2 weeks ago. He said something, I thought something completely different. But Peter, he didn't understand the words. He didn't become offended. Why? Because he believed Jesus is the Christ. That was higher. That was more important than those words that they didn't understand. You get it? So we just need to be careful about words. Sometimes, man, that was hard to understand. I don't know why that guy said that. What are we the first? Well, that guy said this, right? All right. Matthew 26, 73 to 74. And my Bible may not make it. How are we doing? Is this too heavy? And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know that man. Immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Situations are tough. And that's the word I want you to think about, situation. Situation can put us in places where we don't respond properly. You understand what's going on here? Now, Peter, what's even more amazing, was told he was going to do it. But even though he was told he was going to do it, he still did it. Just 2 weeks ago, we agreed on something in the leadership meeting. I went out and I talked to somebody, and he's like, well, this is where we should do this. And I responded instinctively, right? And we're human. We respond to situations. The situation changed. Now, was that the right thing to do? Absolutely not. This is the point. We are all human. And we are all going to, unless we're perfect. Is there anybody in here perfect? Please, I want to meet you. We're all going to find ourselves in a situation where we don't respond the best. We're going to make dumb choices. We're going to make dumb comments. We're going to make dumb mistakes. Why? Because we're human. Now, I want you to see how Jesus treated this. John 21, 15 through 17. So, when they had eaten breakfast, when is this? This is after the resurrection, isn't it? After all this stuff had happened. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." What didn't Jesus do? He didn't bring up that incident whatsoever. Do you ever see one thing where he's like, "Hey, you know, what was wrong? Why did you deny me?" How come? I think that he left that on the tree. I think he nailed it on the tree. I think he buried it in that grave. There are some things we got to nail to that tree. We got to bury it in that ground. We got to let it go. Because what's the main thing? Feeding the sheep. The main thing that Jesus started with was he was making that guy a fisher of men. That's what mattered. The rest of the stuff is mire. And if we let ourselves to get pulled down into the mire of contention, we will never feed sheep. We will never make disciples. And that's what's needed. And that's what moves the needle. Without a doubt, I don't disagree with that. That is true. So, what can we do? Okay, let's lighten it up a little bit. What can we do to stay out of contention? What are some of the topics that we just covered? Must understand the relationship, right? What's the relationship? We got to get make right. We got to get that we're all, Jesus is making every one of us. He is. He's not done with any one of us. Even you, Cliff. Sorry. I know you just want to be a fisherman. We must regard a rebuke. We need to be willing to get out of the boat. We've got to be transparent with each other. Have some difficult conversations. Tell each other what's on our heart. Aside. Got to have some aside conversations. We need to be careful about words that offend us because they could be unbelievably misunderstood. And we got to nail some things to the tree. Got to put them in the grave. Lord Jesus, you know all things. This can be a difficult subject for us, Lord. I just pray that you help us, you encourage us, oh God, and you help us be the followers, O Lord, that you are.
Thank you for listening to this Abundant Life Church podcast. We pray it has strengthened your relationship with God and will continue to be a light unto your pathway to heaven. If you have any questions or comments regarding this podcast, please telephone our ministerial team at 262-965-5177 or email us at info@abundantlifechurch.org.